The Horror Undying by Manly Wade Wellman. The sheaf of papers, I had found it under the ancient flooring that I pulled up to make a fire, intrigued me at once. The cabin offered shelter, the blaze warmth, and now I had found entertainment. I could forget the night outside, and the blizzard and this chill forest in which I had lost myself. I could forget, too, the disquieting man with the beard and the shabby clothes who had stopped me at the edge of the trees before I began my walk, mumbling something about haunted places. A foreigner, evidently, who smelled abominably of garlic. Sitting on a broken stool before the fireplace, I spread the ragged, faded sheets upon my knee. The largest item was a paper-backed book or pamphlet of the size of an old-fashioned dime novel. In my fancy I can see, now as then, the limp, discoloured cover, tinted red by the flickering firelight, and the lengthy title in uneven, ornate capitals. A true story of the revolting and bloody crimes of Sergeant I. Stanless, USA, his court-martial and execution. Below this promising indication of excitement within, there was a bloody executed woodcut of a full-length human figure. I held it close to the flames for a clearer view. The dress, I saw at once, was the American cavalry uniform of the middle 19th century. Shiny boots with spurs, stripe-sided pantaloons, a brief dragoon jacket, and a round visored cap. Three chevrons upon the sleeve stamped the man as a sergeant, and even as I noted this, my eye caught more and smaller words beneath the picture. Sergeant Stanless, from a drawing by the author. And, under this, the information, privately printed, 1848. Price, 10 cents. 10 cents! Was it a dime novel after all? A dime novel of especially thrilling content? Remembering such shockers as The Feast of Blood, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, The Secret of the Great Turret, and others, I studied the cover illustration again. The author-artist had depicted his subject in a pose at once formalized and dashing. The booted, spurred feet were planted jauntily apart, toes pointing outward at what must have been an uncomfortable angle. The right hand was thrust into the front of the dragoon jacket, Napoleon fashion, while the left rested elegantly upon a sabre hilt. It was all a trifle ludicrous and waxworky. I might have laughed at it, except for the face. It was a round face, framed in heavy side whiskers. The eyes beneath the cap visor were large and expressionless, and so placed as to seem to stare out at anyone who looked at the picture. Below and between them jutted a long, straight nose, thin and sharp as a chisel. The mouth was half open and lipless, and showed two tiny, pointed upper teeth. The chin, well, there was no chin, or very little. Despite the crudity and stiffness of the old woodcut as a whole, that countenance had something of dread, authentic life. I paused to throw more floorboards on the fire, then opened the pamphlet and began to read. The opening of the narrative was flat, in keeping with the style of the 1840s. It said, rather casually, that one Ivan Stanless was born in Prussia, near the Polish border, about the year 1810, and that he came to America as a boy of 12. In 1827, 5 years after his arrival, he enlisted in the United States Army. His record, it appeared, was good, even brilliant. The anonymous biographer suggested that had Stanless been of American birth, he might have won an officer's commission. Foreigner though he was, he rose rapidly to the rank of sergeant first class, and as such did several tours of duty at forts in the South and West. At the outbreak of the Mexican War, he saw active service with a dragoon regiment and was wounded at Monterey. In 1847, he was senior non-commissioned officer of a squadron ordered to build and garrison a fort in the western part of the newly acquired territory of Texas. Up to this point, the narrator had seemed vague, as if information on Sergeant Stanless's early career was his only by hearsay. But the incident of the fort building and all that followed was, by contrast, extraordinarily clear and vivid. I, reading by the firelight, guessed that the unknown pamphleteer must have made Stanless's actual acquaintance at that time.